ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long.
Keywords in a song. Not just a change is going to come, but the fact that I've reached a point that I believe that I can carry on. Good evening, Jeff Bennett here on a Tuesday night, this 24th day of January. Can you believe this month is damn near over already? Hey, we got only 11 months left for Christmas Eve. Oh, whoopee-doo. Oh, my goodness. Welcome to the Edge of Darkness. A little later in the program, this is going to be a very unusual program because typical Tuesday nights are economic commentary. We're going to do some of that, and then we're going to move off in a totally different direction for tonight. Some interesting things have been happening, and I'm feeling good, better than I felt in a very long time. My ability to do work has been unbelievable. I don't even know what time I got up Sunday morning, maybe 10:30. Didn't go back to bed until 26, 28 hours later. And I feel great. How's everybody doing? Let's take a look at some of this stuff. One of the things I've begun to see on the street out there, but our U.S. gasoline prices are continuing to rise again. 11.8 cents over a week ago. 9.4 cents higher than they were a year ago before Russia's special military operation in Ukraine, which doesn't have a damn thing to do with the greed of the oil companies in this country and the sickness of the politicians in this nation. Oh, don't kid yourself. Those oil companies are helping to line the pockets of those politicians. Yeah, well, let's see. Gasoline prices are rising along with the rise of crude oil prices, up $3 a barrel from a week ago, $2 a barrel from a month ago. And given the legs of the supply chain, pump prices are set to go considerably higher. Well, of course they are. They're going to be pumping us until we're broke. You can figure that one out on your own. But in addition to all this, the rising crude oil prices, gasoline prices are rising as, quote, continued refinery challenges kept the supply of gasoline from rising more substantially. Doesn't that sound like a typical line of, let's be polite today, BS? Unbelievable. Well, let's see what else we got. We've continued to hear these ongoing rumors that in time we're going to see the complete and total demise of the U.S. dollar. U.S. Congress twiddled its thumbs on crypto. 10 countries banned it. 42 others placed heavy restrictions. But we keep thinking about going in that direction just because we can make damn sure that you and I get taxed to death even when we buy a pack of prophylactics. January 31st of last year, Oliver Sullivan reported at Lawyer Monthly that the growing list of countries that wholly ban cryptocurrencies included China, Egypt, Iraq, Qatar, Oman, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Bangladesh, and as of this month, Kosovo. 42 others passed restrictions to the effect prohibiting crypto exchanges or limiting the ability of banks to engage with crypto. Now, compare that to the U.S., which increasingly looks like a financial backwater, questionable crypto deposits blowing up friendly insured banks, federally insured banks. They're not friendly. Collapsing publicly listed crypto mining stocks whose business model is to pump more fossil fuels into the atmosphere in order to solve complex mathematical problems that have no productive purpose whatsoever. So $8 billion in customer funds went missing at the FTX crypto exchange, which was promoted by the media darlings on television and, of course, the big law firms getting fat at the crypto bankruptcy. What is this? The big law firms. What, this is the husband and wife team? Get out of here. You guys probably don't have that unless you live in Phoenix. Interesting questions popped up dealing with metals. Silver has been lagging gold's price. Now, keep this in mind. Silver has been lagging as it relates to what silver sells to banks for. Okay, I had a situation recently. Contacted one of my suppliers. I wanted to acquire 100 ounces of silver rounds, newly minted Buffalo rounds, whatever he had available. And what I was going to have to pay was just atrocious. It's gotten better, but only by a buck an ounce. And so if I did that and, you know, I saved that buck with him, but I've got to tack it here, and it's just, it's nonsense. It becomes very expensive. But there is still a shortage of silver. But keep in mind, silver's price lags gold on Wall Street because the banks are still trying to control the value of gold and silver. They want it held down. They want it suppressed, depressed. And then we're supposed to go out and pay an outrageous sum for it. I talked to a client in Chicago today who can't figure out why Canadian maple leaves are priced so much lower than American eagles. Well, part of it is once again, for the past 2 years, the U.S. Mint has announced that they were cutting back drastically the mintage of gold and silver American Eagles, which drives their individual cost way up. Supply and demand stuff. I'm sorry. I don't give a damn. If I'm buying a 1 ounce gold coin and I can buy Canadian for that much less than a U.S. American Eagle for the same weight, the same purity, whatever the case, I'll buy the Canadian. I'll buy the Brit. I'll buy Australian. I'll buy Austrian. It's the gold content I want. I don't give a damn whose picture's on it, what country's name is stamped on it. It's all a bunch of garbage. So, you know, if you're looking for gold and silver, And we finally got our problem apparently worked out at the website. I updated the offer on the Sierra Madre treasure chest about half an hour ago. It's not moved much. This is a silver offering. The gold is currently on the breakable Valcombi bars, is once again on back order. And I have had inquiries on it. But there are other options out there. I can get silver rounds affordably. And so, you know, give us a call, 602-799-8214. Also, I had a call the other day from a man back in New Hampshire, I believe, whose name is Michael. And, Mike, if you're out there listening, I will give you a call tomorrow. Michael's interested in buying some junk silver. I don't know what its availability is right now. It's been a while. So I'll be doing some looking on that stuff. Somebody's sending me messages while we're on the air. Anyway, okay, so the gold and silver boom have predicted as the U.S. hits a debt ceiling once again. Don't you remember when the U.S. debt hit $5 trillion? Yeah, now it's almost $32 trillion. And yet the average person just, when Clinton was president, he was more concerned playing musical instruments with Monica Lewinsky. And, you know, but we're still sitting at, what, $5 billion or whatever the heck it was, $5 trillion, I don't know. And now we're at almost $32 trillion indebtedness. We keep pumping more money into Ukraine. We keep pumping more money here, more money there. Give, 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 give. Hey, and let's not forget all them illegals coming in. Going to get free housing, free medical, free schooling, free food. No, I don't want that. I want some tacos. So gold and silver boom is predicted. U.S. hits debt ceiling. The dollar continues to devalue. U.S. hit a $31.4 trillion debt ceiling last Thursday after the latest inflation data showed consumer prices still at 6.5% higher on an annual basis. Go try to buy some eggs. You go out here, you get a dozen eggs for $6-$7. There's one big egg farm here in the Phoenix area. They are huge. My wife is a teacher for a couple of the owner's kids in high school. And they're providing eggs to damn near every major grocery store in this area. And yet, I can go down to 7-Eleven, go down and rub elbows with my friend Ahmed Pakred, buy, what the heck was I talking about? I just blanked. Oh, I can buy that dozen eggs from 7-Eleven for $2.50. Comes from the same farm, the same label, everything. Well, you got to keep in mind, anybody can see the government spending is a major problem for our country's economic health. And now our government's even at risk of defaulting on its bills. Oh, people, that's not going to happen. Don't worry. The government's not going to default. You know what's going on here in Arizona right now? They want to forgive rental tax for people that are renting houses and apartments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How are they going to lose that kind of money? I mean, I think on the surface, that sounds great. Somebody's going to pay it. If the federal government defaults on its loans, it will destroy whatever investor faith might be left in the U.S. dollar and weaken it dramatically. Well, no big deal, Jack, because I ain't got no damn faith in the government anyway. I mean, my God, since I was on the air last week, they found more of this still illegal stashed paper goods that Joey copped all the years he was senator and everything else. And even some of the time he was with Brock Well, interesting, this piece. Gold and silver boom predicted as U.S. hits debt ceiling and a dollar to values. The closing comment is, this environment creates a strong case for allocating funds to physical precious metals. You don't buy precious metals, ladies and gentlemen, to get rich, to make a ton of money. The reason you get it is so that when the poop finally hits the fan all the way, you're still going to have something of value left in your hand. Maybe I should not have described it that way. Yeah, what the heck. Interesting article I published on Sierra Madre over the weekend. It's entitled Behold, a Trojan Horse. Letters from the Great Depression. I originally published that on Flying Eagle Gold when we used that name so many years ago, back in September of 2005, by the way. And in the category Protecting Your Wealth, that fit. And it fit. Lessons from the Great Depression. It's quite an intense article. You want to understand the history of metals and gold and silver and people's ability to survive and how some of the laws were changed over the years. Part of it because of Roosevelt's stamp collecting buddies. Hey, Frankie, Booby, Baby. No, they were coin collectors. Frankie, Booby, Baby. You're a stamp collector. What happens if somebody decided to put a restraint on stamps? We collect coins. So he leaves the... He kind of loosened up the regulations on the ownership of gold, and bingo, bingo, we move on. I'm not a coin collector. I'm a survivalist, and that is what you all should be worried about. Okay. One more piece in the economic world. I'm going to move in a different direction. The last 2 days have been astounding for me. And some of the reasons for it, I will be sharing with you shortly. I'm going to take a step outside the economic world today and inform you of some major changes that are going to be coming. Website-wise, some email changes, some other things. But this is something I found interesting. I found what I'm about to share with you interesting for economic reasons. Also for health reasons. Come on, I've been talking about health issues now for September 2nd of 2001 as I've been suffering through one bit of caca after bits after another. And we're not going to be whining about it tonight. I'm blowing the whistle because I'm feeling great. Best I've felt in a long, long, long time. We're going to share with you why. Hang on a sec. Coughing my guts out tonight. Don't know why. You've all heard of this thing called Medicare Advantage. It's a money-making scam. Medicare Advantage is neither Medicare nor does it have a provided advantage. Right now, well-funded lobbyists from big health insurance companies are leading a campaign on Capitol Hill to get members of Congress and senators of both parties to sign on to a letter designed to put them on record expressing strong support for the scam that is now known as the Medicare Advantage. Now, just hang on. Just hold on. Because here's the truth. Medicare Advantage is neither Medicare nor an advantage. And the man who's telling us this story, his name is Wendell Potter, a former healthcare executive who helped develop PR and marketing schemes to sell these private insurance plans. He spent 2 years in the industry, I'm sorry, 2 decades in the industry, part of an annual collaborative effort to persuade lawmakers that Medicare Advantage was far superior to traditional Medicare, you know, real Medicare. And Wendell goes on to say, we knew that having congressional support for Medicare Advantage was essential to ensuring ever-growing profits at the expense of seniors and taxpayers. And Wendell says, we even organized what we insiders derisively called granny fly-ins, brought seniors enrolled in our Medicare replacement plans to Washington, equipped them with talking points, and had them fan out across Capitol Hill. And instead of joining with the corporate lobbyists in extolling the benefits of Medicare Advantage while obscuring the program's numerous problems, Congress should work to lower the cost of health care. And Wendell admits now he regrets his participation in those efforts because over the 20 years since Congress passed the Medicare Modernization Act, the Medicare Advantage program has become an enormous cash cow for the insurers. In large part because of the way they've rigged the risk scoring system to maximize profits. As Kaiser Health News reported last month, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services estimated, quote, net overpayments to Medicare Advantage plans by unconfirmed medical diagnosis at $11.4 billion just for 2022. That's for 1 year. Imagine what the cumulative historical total would be or is. The Medicare and Medicaid programs have become so lucrative and profitable for the insurers that United Health Group, the nation's largest health insurer, the biggest in terms of Medicare Advantage enrollment, got 72% of its health plan revenues in 2021 from taxpayers and seniors. In fact, all of United Health's enrollment growth since 2012 has been in government programs. Enrollment in the company's employer and individual health plans shrank by 370,000 between September 30th of 2012 and September 30th of 2022. And much of the $81 billion that United Health collected in revenues in the third quarter of last year was subsidized by American tax dollars. Why? I happen to have United Healthcare. In my personal opinion, they've been extremely fair to me. But that's not the issue today. Members of Congress on both sides of the political aisle and both sides of the Capitol are at long last calling for more scrutiny of the Medicare Advantage program. Up Chucky Grassley has called for aggressive oversight of Medicare Advantage plans to recoup overcharges and was quoted in the Kaiser Health News story, as was Senator Sherrod Brown, who said that fixing Medicare Advantage is not a partisan issue. And as Representative Katie Porter commented, when big insurance bills taxpayers for care it never intends to deliver, it is stealing our tax dollars. Wendell continues by saying, I know that Democrats and Republicans alike care about the financial stability of the Medicare program, but instead of joining with the corporate lobbyists and extolling the benefits of Medicare Advantage while obscuring the program's numerous problems, and in the process, helping big insurance make massive profits. Congress should work to lower the cost of health care. You see, Wendell closes by saying Medicare Advantage is a money-making scam. I should know, he said. I helped to sell it. Isn't that profitable? Isn't that profitable? Another headline, South Dakota Attorney General and governor have threatened felony charges for pharmacists prescribing abortion pills. Governor Kristi Noem is stopping at nothing until every woman in South Dakota is forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy to term. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that issue. Interesting stuff. What's this guy? I know this guy. Oh, you guy. This is... Never mind. I'm not going down that path. It's unrelated to what we're talking about here. I've just come across a new website I've never been to before. I like it. I like it. It's got good stuff on it. It's called commondreams.org. Anybody ever heard of that? Crazy. Let's talk about some other issues for a while. And before we do, my name is Jeffrey Bennett. I happen to be a vendor for all things precious metals. Gold, silver, platinum. Copper's getting hot again. Don't know if I've got a source for copper, however. The source I was using started doing some things in their business I did not like. I had been a long-time customer and a purveyor and a business customer with them. And all of a sudden, things kind of changed, and I'm not getting dealer prices anymore, which means I can't pass on better prices to you. And it's just the whole stinky way. Oh, she said, well, you know, we can get you reapplied. We need to see what your web, your email is, your website. I said, my website's none of your freaking business. I said, I don't appeal to the unknown. My audience comes from my broadcasting audience, and that's the extent of it. I don't, I'm not out there doing dog and pony shows and speaking out there in the streets saying, hey, come buy some shekels from me. Never mind, another story. But having brought up the websites, let's talk about them a little bit. Sometime in 2021, I think, I moved my websites to a new host. And I was not happy with it. That was a mistake. That hosting company has been far more beneficial than the previous host that I had, GoDaddy. GoDaddy, when it was developed and owned by Bob, what's his name, I think cared a lot more about the average customer. It was not all about the money. Now you're finding that most of these major web hosts are owned by, you know, people who are more concerned about the money. So, over the last two nights, I've sat down and made a list, sitting in bed, making a list of projects that I needed to get done each day. And each day, I've done exactly that. I've concluded what I set out to do, and in some cases, more. So, I got a hold ahead of one of my web GoDaddy yesterday. I have four websites: FederalObserver.com. Sierra Madre Precious Metals, Metropolis.cafe, and DrKelly.net. I received information which grants me the right to move two of those websites. I chose Kelly, and I think Sierra Madre first. No, Kelly and Federal Observer. But I got a better bargain in talking to my new web host that if I don't move all four at one time, I'm going to get hit with an additional $149 for the other two accounts if I come back a week or a month later. All right, it's not big bucks, but, you know, etc. This Friday, I will be having a meeting with my new hosts. I'm returning to Bluehost. There were things about Bluehost that I liked. I now have a local contact I can reach, so I'm not having to deal with Phil or Pino. Filipino. Never mind. I will have a meeting with their technical people to begin getting ready to move the four websites. DrKelly.net will be first. DrKelly.net will now have a new email address, which will be victory@drkelly.net. We'll be improving a certain number of things. The Kelly site is not a major problem, so there's not going to be major changes going on there. We're going to be ultimately moving Sierra Madre, preciousmetals.com, but you're not going to notice much difference in it. There's some internal things that I need to have done that will clean it up and make it somewhat more accurate once again. There won't be much change to the appearance, the looks of it, maybe some to a minor degree, but nothing that you've got to be concerned about. The Metropolis Cafe is going to get moved. That site needs very little. But the big one is going to be something else. Federal Observer, which is probably my most well-known website, is about to disappear. Not the content. Something I've been toying with for a number of years. And the time has come. FederalObserver.com is going away. It will have a new name. It will maintain all of the records that we have in Federal Observer. All the articles, the postings, the images, blah, 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 blah. But its name is going to be changed. It will then become known as Sundown Observer. For those of you who can't figure out why bother doing it, there's a lot of reasons for it. Some things I'm not going to bore you with. I lost the Federal Observer email address about a year ago because of some dirty business that was done by the original holder of that. I'm not going to play it anymore. So we will have a new site. And yet it should be a relatively smooth transaction. Things that you like that are at that site are going to remain there. You know. Oh, maybe the pictures of the wall, the pictures on the wall might change. But life goes on. So get ready for these changes. I'll keep you apprised of it. My meeting with their technical people takes place on Friday. I've already acquired all the necessary transfer codes I need to start getting these websites moved. But I have to be very careful and have these guys stay in touch with me on a step-by-step basis. Each site that gets moved is going to allow me to get in, double check everything, clean things up. But keep in mind that while this process is going on, there will probably be no new postings taking place. Because if I do, they will disappear. I know that for a fact. Okay? It's that simple. So, hence, a change is going to come. Now let's take you down a different path. A journey to hell and back. Charles Dickens and I have been on a very interesting journey over this past year plus. Both have had some interesting health issues, which we've chosen to write about. Which I don't think was ever the intent, but it's just worked out that way. Over the weekend, I had a need to sit down. I've got a client who I've dealt with for a few years, who's acquired a fair amount of gold and silver. It's a long, involved story. She's taken possession of some of it. But a good percentage of it disappeared. Stolen. Still trying to determine what, how much. I'm going to have to make it all up in time. And I will do so. Most companies that just shut down and disappear and never be heard from again, and they'd screw the client. I just don't do things that way. She happens to be a naturopath. She's given me some good guidance health-wise, some of which I could follow, some of which I could not. So I sat down to address the missing coinage. But I wanted to bring her up to date on what's going on with my health issues. You've all heard it before. We've been down the road for pushing a year and a half now. And it truly has been a journey to hell and back. Think of the word of Hippocrates. First, do no harm. But they, the medical community, did it to me anyway. The beginning. But it was not meant to be an end. Much of what I share with you is the basis of the letter that I wrote this listener and client. And then I spent several hours working on this thing before I got it off to her. And then I spent another hour and a half adding more to it and fine-tuning it. Let me grab a drink. I'm choking on something. Ugh. And the letter begins. September the 2nd, 2021. The day that we buried our son. Late that night, I got into somewhat of a vile argument with my daughter in the manner that she was speaking to her daughter, our then 17-year-old daughter, who still lives with us and we've been raising for a good number of years. I told Kylie to go into the house as she did not need to be a part of her mother's asininity and vulgarity, at which point the sperm donor, the child's daddy, jumped my case and started his crapola, at which time I went over to him and told him to stay out of it. Oops, that opened up another can of worms, and he began getting physical with me, and as I was returning his actions, my daughter decides to participate in the action, but against me as well. One thing led to another, and within a half an hour, I had a minor heart attack. Oh, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's on to the gurney and off to the hospital we go. Well, I don't remember a thing until the next day when I awoke from the event, only to discover a tube, a catheter up my penis, with a bag attached to it, commonly known as a Foley. I would spend several more days in the hospital room and never see the doctor, because the schmuck would never come to check on his patient. Oh, you don't remember this story? Well, let's just say that I soon became tired of the jive. And that's an article I published as well. So while in the hospital, I was introduced to a man who would become my first urologist. Oh, he came to visit me. But that first urologist would not be my last. I tolerated this low-life money grubber, not fully knowing any better, for some months until I was referred by my family physician to another doctor who kept exactly one appointment with me. The very first one. Afterwards, whenever I came in for checkups and catheter changes, he would walk past me and say, "Hi, Mr. Bennett." The next time he kept an appointment with me, I was on the operating table for service to my prostate. On September 23rd of 2022, approximately 1 year and 3 weeks after my heart attack.
Having a giggle, I say.
The doctor was about to rake the shekels in. In mid-September of this past year, my friends, I entered the hospital for 3 days for surgery. The surgery which never would have been necessary if heart doctor number one had not left the catheter in me. I went in on Wednesday, got out on Friday. But the Shekel Gruber performed 10 surgeries that day, and frankly, he's a bastard who should be stripped of his license. To the best of my knowledge, he caused intense and continual bleeding for all of us. All 10 of us, and my roommate was the worst. And the staff at the hospital were, shall we say, quite angry with him for what they considered his unprofessional actions. So the next morning, Uranus, as I have begun to call him, came strolling through all of our rooms telling us how good we looked and we should see us on Monday or Tuesday or whatever day the following week to remove our catheters. Well, I'd have been left out of the hospital at the end of day two, except that this a-hole stressed me so much with his dog and pony act and his BS remark that he had spit out that I was moved to a different floor to monitor my heart through the next day. Stage two, Sunday night. I entered the emergency room for excessive blood on the urine. Oh, that catheter was just so beautiful. Well, you know, they keep you in ER for about 5 hours. You know, got to keep the dinero flowing. And after 2 hours of flushing me out with some kind of clear liquid, the catheter was looking quite pale and fairly normal. So they told me that I was in good shape. Now, this is the Sunday after I got let out of the hospital with the prostate surgery. No, they've not taken my prostate out, so don't worry about that. So I got this clear liquid, the catheter looking pale, fairly normal. So they told me I was in good shape. I could get up off the ER bed and get ready to go home. And the moment I put my foot on the floor, I began to instantly flow red into the catheter once again, at which time they told me it was not a problem and that I was just getting rid of some excess. That was Sunday night. And I was back again the next night, Monday, and once again on Tuesday. Same story each night, different day, different ER doctor, but it was about to get worse. So I was released from the emergency room at 9:30 Tuesday morning and stopped at my own family physician's office as I left the hospital. It's right across the parking lot. Picked up my cell phone, spoke with Brittany at the front desk, asked her if she could come out to my car for a moment. Gladly did so, gave her a shorter version of the story that I've been sharing with you this evening. So with one more stop before I went home, I had to stop at my colonoscopy doctor. I just spilled stuff all over the place. I had to stop at my colonoscopy doctor's office to lock in my appointment with them for some clean out in January, which later, by the way, I postponed and have subsequently done that again because it's just getting in the way of other things that are trying to cure themselves up. So I met with them, left, returned to my work. Now, we got a little bit of a partial sidetrack in the story. So I get home. I got on the computer for about 20 minutes, then looked at the Foley. Blood red. Pain. So I phoned the office of Dr. Schekelmeister, knowing that I would get the answering service. My doctor was not at his local office that day, but was at another of the four offices that he practices at. But the answering service called me back shortly. Instructed me to get out to the office he was working at that day. Well, given what I was going through, I had no business driving. Long drive, 20, 25 minutes, traffic booking along at about 80 miles an hour, and I kept up, and I just wanted to urinate the whole time. But nothing was coming through, just burning like hell. So I got his office, which I'd been at one time before, for a urine test back in April. Drop your pants, Mr. Bennett. Let's see how strong this you can pee into the can. Which back then I was unable to do, and told her why. Because my urine and my bowels were blocking each other off, and I was unable to do either, and she wouldn't let me try to go poop. So she inserts the catheter back in me and screwed up, because she shot at least twice as much liquid into the tube that she should have. Which cost me another late night trip to the ER the next night with an intense infection. My urine, of course, looked as if it was full of sand, so they ran a test on it. Then the PA, that's physician's assistant, and her nurse discussed in front of me as to whether they should replace the catheter or not. They didn't. I wound up back in the ER again the next night with a worse infection than I had arrived with. But this time, I'd wind up at a different hospital as the one which discovered the infection was overloaded that night. So let's go back to second stage. So I parked my car, walked to the building. Oh, man, I was so full, I couldn't even pee in my pants, let alone through the catheter. I took the elevator upstairs. I walked in, and the welcome, please come in. I recognized three of the doctor's associates, each of which had taken far better care of me than he had ever done. And I asked one of them to sign me in as I had the pizzola. Into the restroom, no toilet paper, sat down on the throne, began to urinate blood. Not through the catheter, but out of my penis, which was totally bypassing the tube. Yeah, well, at least there were paper towels and a brush, so I could brush the toilet and not leave it all bloody and skanky for the next person. Came back to sit in the waiting room. Within minutes, I had to go again, except now I was starting to get weak and dizzy. When I came back out of the restroom, I must have been noticeably dizzy and ready to pass out. One of my regular nurses, Monica, noticed me in my condition and said to Dr. Uranus, "You better get Jeff on the bed right now. He's not doing well." Well, within minutes, I passed out. Apparently peed blood all over the jerk. Payback really is a bitch, you jerk. And from this point, I was totally out of it. I have no idea how long I was out, but the next thing that I knew, I was on a gurney on the way to another hospital. Not the one where Dr. Uranus had performed his bloody surgery, but to a different hospital where an associate, someone that Dr. Uranus knew, was an associate, was to clean up whatever the damn doctor had screwed up to begin with. Funny thing is, the only remembrance of being on the gurney is they were removing me from the room I was in and being taken off the gurney when they got me to the hospital. The funny thing is, I can remember everything else that happened at that hospital until the actual surgery. And it was good, man. And the doctor was a cool cat. Well, can you believe all this time's gone by? Dr. Uranus has not seen me since that day. Within a couple of weeks, the catheter in the Foley was removed. I have no urinary issues since. But then, well, so all of the above took place over less than 2 weeks. But I've continued to have some minor heart issues ever since. But the good news is, and that unto itself, is it had nothing to do with the catheter, but much to do with the amount of water which I had become accustomed to drinking while on the catheter. And so September and early October were over. But something was still not right. I continued with my in and out. Not the burgers. Just in and out of the ER for the next 2+ months. And each time it was due to difficulty in breathing. Now, keep in mind that as a rule, I only go to an ER late at night because I know many of the people, the doctors, the PAs, the nurses, the cleaning lady. But on one occasion, I went several hours earlier than usual. They got me into a closed ER room at about 9:30 p.m. on a Sunday night, finally moved me out about 12 hours later into a somewhat more open ER section of the hospital. You know, you got about a dozen more people. You got curtains around you, all this business. But the little bed they moved me into was, in effect, a split room with a divider between myself and one other individual. And they gave me an oxygen tube to breathe from, which had now become common for me. And I was breathing through this thing for the next 2.5 days. And about 2:30 in the morning on Wednesday, I was finally moved into an available real hospital room. Oh, the nurse was pretty damn hot, but I didn't really care. Give me oxygen, baby. I find he slept for the first time in days. But by Wednesday afternoon, the decision had been made that I was doing fine. They must have needed the room and bed for someone who was in worse shape than I. So they sent a nurse in to sign me out. But this nurse, Fatina, took me down a whole different path than anyone had done with me at checkout. You see, each time I was attending the ER after the removal of the catheter, I had one thing that had become quite common. Each time that a stethoscope was used to check my heart rate, there was an intense amount of gurgling taking place, and Fatina was the only one who understood what was actually taking place. My internal body was drowning in water. Her advice was to cut way back on the amount of intake. It made a degree of sense to me, and so I did come to cut down on the water intake, but apparently not enough. And so on Friday the 13th of all days, this is just days ago, I wound up in ER once again, still due to the intense shortness of breath. But my wife made a decision to return me to the Banner Boswell Hospital, the same hospital that I had been saved from Dr. Uranus's butcher job. There was no waiting. They got me right into an ER room. I wish to God I'd gone there 3 months before. Well, I was not released until Monday. The water was cut back intensely. The stethoscope was used to check my heart rate on a continual basis. And each time they did it, the gurgling was getting lower and lower. It was disappearing to a point that all of a sudden it was gone. And as I many times heard in the old Hollywood movie, Elmer Gantry, in the words of Sister Sharon Falconer, heal, heal. And that, my friends, is what I've been doing. I have done more physical work in the past week and a half than I've done in well over a year. And frankly, it feels damn good. Over the past year, I've come in more contact with listeners who are in the health field, licensed MDs, nurses, and you. Those of you listening who have followed this journey of mine. And if nothing else, it's all kept my hopes up. And finally, goodness, a massive amount of goodness has come of it. And my thanks specifically goes out to my friend Dr. Fred Messia, Dr. Southern up in Canada, Chris Beeman, so many of the listeners who have stayed in touch with me during this damn fiasco. So for your part, your continued support, I thank each and every one of you. You have no idea. My wife is so concerned that I have overdone it. You got to slow up. You got to rest. You got to this. You got to that. I'm getting so much work done. Part of it is work of a personal nature. Things I'm doing in the garage. Renovation tools, recycling stuff, repairing tools, cleaning tools, putting up massive amounts of corkboard on the walls. And one of those walls are a personal wall. It has nothing to do with tools. It's my personal little family wall. It's got little memories hanging on it and more to go on it. Another corkboard is full of tools that can be used, but it's also full of antique tools, pieces that I've acquired throughout my 50 odd years of being with my wife, one form or another. It's been interesting, and partially because of Fatina, partially because of this phenomenal group of people that paid attention to me at Banner Boswell. That got me back on the right path. I'm still trying to get settled in and get decent sleep, but that isn't as important to me because I've never really been a sleeper. I'm a worker bee. But I know I've got to slow up. So I get off the air. I may go lay down for a couple hours. My problem is I'll wake up and won't be able to go back to bed till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm starting to wake up on my own at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning again. It's insane. So, I told you this would be an unusual program. The opening song by Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come. Changes are coming. Changes have landed upon me. I'm a happy camper. I hope you're a happy camper. And Maggie, you're doing a great job, honey. You keep it up. And eventually, we're going to do some things with Angie, with Maggie. And hopefully, I'll be doing 5 days a night, 5 days a week again. But we'll see what happens. Not as important as life itself. So we're running out of time. Thanks for all for being with me tonight. Thanks for tolerating me. We can help you with some medals, questions. Give us a call, 602-799-8214. You can also reach us through email. Get to the websites. Check some things out. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. We got some interesting things for the program tomorrow. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett. Good night. This is the ear of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chance and say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed, the human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to war, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.